dear. It's going well. This feels more like church, doesn't it, when everything's just sort of... Well, this morning, I would like to speak to those who have felt knocked down by life. I'd like to speak to those who have found that life has not gone according to plan. For those who may feel that hope is a very long way away. Maybe it's things that's happened in previous years. Maybe it's this past year that's done it to you. The year that shook everything in the world, even the church. You know, it still seems so hard to believe it's been over a year since we've all been able to meet together. I still can't get my head around that. Maybe actually what's knocked you down is just life itself. You've been hit and hit and hit. Well, can I tell you, this message is for you. Because I want us all to understand something. We are here today to remember a resurrection. We are here today to remember the day that Jesus rose again. See, I don't like calling it Easter Sunday. We like calling it Resurrection Sunday. Because that's what today is all about. Today is about the hope. Who said hope? It was Chris. Today is about the hope that we have in knowing Jesus is alive. That when Jesus was put down, Jesus did not stay down. Today I want you to know you might be put down, but you can rise again. We may be down, but we do not have to stay there. When life gets off track, when hope seems lost, when times push us down, because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done for us, church, we can rise again. But that's not where we're going to start. Because before we get to that, I just want to get us all on the same page. Before we get to Sunday, we have to start on Friday. Before we get to the tomb, we need to start with a cross and with a question. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Why did Jesus go to the cross? Because sometimes we get this wrong. Sometimes we try to receive from the garden without going through the cross. You can't do the garden without the hill. It doesn't work. And sometimes we misunderstand what Jesus actually died for. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus did not die for your emotional well-being. Jesus did not die for your self-esteem. Jesus did not die for your addictions. He didn't die for your dreams and your ambitions. He didn't die so that your finances could be better. He didn't die for the sake of your mental health. Jesus did not die so you could be happier. Now, I'm not saying Jesus isn't interested in these things, but none of those things are the reason Jesus went to the cross. No, the reason for the cross is something far bigger and far more important than any of that stuff. Those are problems we might all have, but they're eclipsed by the biggest problem each and every one of us shares. The prophet Isaiah spoke for the reason of the cross hundreds of years before it ever happened. Isaiah 53:5. Says, for he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement of our peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. It was for our transgressions that Jesus died. It was because of our iniquity. Or you want a better word? He took on the punishment of our sin. This is affirmed in the book of Romans, Romans 4:25. He was delivered over to death for our trespasses and raised to life for our justification. Peter also agrees with this. 1 Peter 2 4:24 says, He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his stripes you were healed. He's quoting in Isaiah. You see, we need to get to this before we get to anything else, because first and foremost, we need to get to grips with the cross and what it actually means to become a Christian. That list of things that we went through might be real and present things in our lives. They may be very genuine problems, but I tell you today, they are not your biggest problem. No, your biggest problem is your sin and the sinful nature that keeps on wanting to take over. It's our sin that separates us from God. It's our sin that drags us into an eternity without him. Your biggest problem is quite simply sin. And we can blame whoever we want for it, but we know ultimately it's us. We're accountable for the things we do. And that is why Jesus died. The solution to your sin does not lie within you. It is not a problem you can solve. It's a problem solved by our Savior on the cross. And we've got to start with this truth, because otherwise we can come to the cross asking for things the cross was not meant to offer. We can become a Christian thinking, well, it's going to be the solution to all my problems in life. And then from now on, once I've become a Christian, oh, life is going to be easy. And, you know, it's just going to be a breeze. And there doesn't need to be any change in me. And we find ourselves going down the path and finding out it's not what we thought it was going to be. Let me tell you something this morning. Jesus did not die for you because you're awesome and just need a bit of help to get better. He didn't die for you because heaven just wouldn't be the same without you. Jesus died for us because each and every one of us is a sinner who can do nothing to save themselves. Each and every one of us is unworthy for heaven. So the most worthy one came and took our sin from us. Took our punishment. Took the blame. Let me tell you, the cross of Jesus is not therapy. It's resuscitation. It's putting life into something that was dead. Now, if you're thinking, well, that makes me feel a bit unworthy and a bit bad. Good, because we all are. We're all unworthy. That's the point. That's the thing about standing in front of a holy God. All of our good stuff is tiny. Tiny compared to how good he is. Well, like sometimes I feel like we're a bunch of ants standing in front of a person arguing about which ant is the tallest. It don't matter. Are you doing better than someone else? It don't really matter. You're still an ant. You're still tiny. And I take great comfort in that, because it takes away the pressure of being able to do it myself, because I can't. That puts all of us on the same level. The cross is the great equalizer, because we all have the same exact need for forgiveness. And the world sometimes mightn't understand this. That even when we talk about sin, we're having a go. No, we're saying, it's my problem too. It's all of our problem. See, the message of the cross is not, don't worry. It's all going to be okay. The message of the cross is, sinners, repent, because Jesus is the only way to make it okay. If you haven't come to the cross in repentance, if you haven't come to the cross with the mindset of, I'm sorry for my sin, Lord, and I turn away from it, Dare I say you've not come to the cross? Sin is the problem. And sin was dealt with by Jesus when he got on the cross for you and me. On the Friday, our sin was defeated. And when we come to Jesus, we find that's where we need to start, at the cross. We start on the Friday. After that, we get to move on to the Sunday, to the empty tomb. You see, you can't get to the tomb without going via the cross. You can't step into life without first starting the place of death. But it's at the tomb where we accept the death of Jesus, when we see our sin is dealt with, and actually we couldn't do anything about it, so Jesus did it all. It's at the empty tomb we find a whole new life. For Jesus was raised to life. And because Jesus rose again, you can sit here and know you have life. Because Jesus rose again, whatever the world throws at you, whatever comes against you, whatever it is that knocks you down, I want you to know, if you are walking in the resurrection, you can rise from that too. Ah, I tell you what, I'm not worried about the church. We've had a hard year, same as everyone. But the church is full of people who walk daily in the resurrected life. And I have no doubt, church, we will rise again. Excuse me. I think my voice is going. There are two ways that those who come through the cross will rise again. First and most obvious, we shall rise again to eternity. We have hope in life everlasting. Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthian church when he's defending the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 to 22, says this. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then also those who've fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope for this life only, we are of all people most to be most pitied. But, and this is a good but, in fact, Christ has been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Let me tell you, your eternity is secured because of what took place in the garden. The forgiveness was made on the cross, but the hope is settled in the garden. Because Jesus rose again, because Jesus rose as the first fruit, the trendsetter, we know we too, if we are in him, we shall be made alive. I tell you, he's the first fruit, but he's not the only fruit. Oh, Stephen, thank you so much. That's good thinking there. Thank you. I hadn't thought of that. See, eternity holds no fear to those who are in Christ. How can it? For we know to be absent from the body is to be present with our Lord. I tell you what, and I don't mean to sound funny here. I can't wait. It's in God's time, sure. But I tell you what, I don't mind saying goodbye to this. Oh dear. It's got too many miles on the clock. Oh dear. It's not the mileage that's the problem, it's the maintenance. Oh, I've lost my place. There we go. We know that on the day he returns, when he comes in glory, we will accompany our Lord and our Savior to an inheritance in a kingdom that knows no end. But that's not the only way we can rise to a new life when we come to the empty tomb. You see, because Jesus has risen, and not just risen, he has ascended. He now sits at the right hand of the Father. And because he has ascended, we can also now live in the life, the light of the ascension. Jesus said this in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus said it was necessary for him to go, and it's to our advantage that he's gone. Because after he ascends, the Helper comes. The Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit has been sent to help us live that new life we've been raised into. And the Holy Spirit is here with us now. You know, there used to be one temple where the Holy Spirit dwelled. Now there's temples all over the world, walking and breathing and moving around and creating new temples. Because Jesus has ascended on high, the Helper has come, we can rise to a life, not a life of the flesh like we used to have, but a life in the Spirit. And all of that list of things I went through at the start, our health, our mental well-being, our dreams, our self-esteem, they weren't the reason Jesus died. But a life in the Spirit deals with all of this stuff. We can live a resurrection life. We can live a life in the Spirit and not the flesh. Because Jesus rose again. Because Jesus ascended. And because he rose again, let me tell you, church, you can rise above your circumstances. You can rise above every bad thing that's happened. You can rise above every disagreement, every time someone's knocked you down, every financial disappointment. You can rise above it because Jesus rose again. How do we know this? Because resurrection power lives in God's people. Paul tells us the same Spirit, the same power, the same one that raised Jesus from the grave lives in us today. And because of that, we don't have to be dragged down by the world. We don't have to live a life in the flesh. We can live a life of the Spirit. Romans 8, verses 6 to 13, it says this. For to set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if we live, but by the Spirit, sorry, I've got lost. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, here's the point. Because Jesus rose again, the Spirit of God, the Helper, dwells in those who follow him. The same Spirit that brought Jesus from the grave. Now, this means a few things. First of all, it means we can live beyond setting our minds on this life. This life offers us. Paul said there, the mind that's set on flesh is a mind always heading towards death. Because that's what happens to flesh. It dies. A mind that is set on the flesh can only see the temporary. Death is always before us because the flesh will die. And the flesh knows it. No wonder so many people have found this year so hard, because they can't see past what's happening now. The things that they've relied on have been shaken and mixed up, and they can't see past it, because the mind set on flesh is a mind that has not been freed. To set the mind on the things of God, to set the mind on the Spirit, is life and peace. Meeting the mind Letting the mind be led by the Spirit is what freeing your mind really is. None of this new age nonsense. That's true freedom. Setting your mind in the Spirit and not on the flesh. And those who accepted Jesus, we are not people of the flesh. We are people of the Spirit of God. How are we able to live a life where sin is defeated? I tell you, it's not possible in the flesh. Because the flesh fails us all the time, doesn't it? It's when we choose to walk in the Spirit of God. There's strength in the Spirit of God for you each and every day. Church, we need to get this. If you're in Jesus, the same power that raised Christ from the grave lives in you. Helps you. Let me tell you, if that Spirit is able to raise Jesus from the grave, that Spirit is able to solve all the problems you've got. When you give it over to him, and when you walk in that truth. Those who don't know Jesus, who've not accepted Jesus, who've not received this transformation, who are unable to see beyond the here and now and this temporary life, can I tell you, that could change for you here and now. He can pick you up. Because Jesus rose again, you can have a whole new life. I tell you, my life was never the same. The day I realized Jesus is alive. You will never be the same if you accept and trust that Jesus is alive, and the same Spirit, the same power that raised him from the grave, can live in you too. Rise up. Rise out of the pit that you're in. Rise again from the place of despair and step into living a life of hope. A hope that will know no end. And that Spirit can live in you from this moment on, giving you a perspective on life that will get you above the grind and above the temporary. Come to Jesus. But know there's only one route, and it's via the cross. So J. John, who always says, The only way to get to heaven by rail is via King's Cross. We must come to him and see him for who he is. Our Lord and our Savior. The one who delivered us from our sin. And we turn away from our sin and turn to him. I've come to believe you can't really do this with dry eyes. Not when you really understand what he's done for you. You can't do this without kneeling at the foot of the cross, realizing he is the only one who can save you. Can I encourage you, if you're watching and you're in that place, maybe you've even put your hand up in church, but it was kind of like, meh. Don't put it off, because you don't know when you're not going to be able to put it off any longer. And the hope that we all have is this: the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give us life. Those who live in the Spirit, those who live in this promise, we will never see death. Never. This thing might go away. It's fine. I'll not even get scrap value for this. But we will not see death. We pass from one state to the other. I was going to say we pass into life everlasting, but life everlasting has already started. Resurrection power, living on the inside. There is a well of life in us, church, that will never run dry. No matter how many lockdowns we face, no matter how many bad situations we face, no matter how much persecution we might face, that well of life will never, never run dry. Therefore, what can keep you down? What can knock you? Are you struggling today? Well, guess what? Jesus rose again. Get up from the struggle. Amen. Are you hurting today? Well, guess what? Jesus rose again. Put your eyes on his hope. Are you afraid? Jesus rose again. So have no fear. Fix your eyes on his hope. Trust in the one who gives you life everlasting. Listen, we all get knocked down. I've been knocked down plenty of times. This past year, I've been knocked down many times. But we who live a life in the Spirit don't stay down. We rise again. We get back up. Stop accepting what the world tells you and realize you are who God says you are. And that is his. You are of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Rise again, because life dwells in you. We may be down. Let's not stay down. We come via the cross, where our greatest problems dealt with. Let me tell you, if you've not come via the cross, you've not come to Jesus. You've not dealt with your sin at the foot of his sacrifice, then that's a great place to start. I just feel like I need to pray for somebody. I don't know who, but somebody that I don't know who you are, but they've called themselves a Christian. Even gone to church. But they've never been at the foot of the cross. They've never said, Jesus, take my sin. They've never felt that amazing gratitude that you have for him when you realize he's took it. I want to pray for you right now. Lord, I just pray for whoever this person is, that, Lord, you'll cause that conviction of sin to come upon them right now. That conviction of sin that doesn't bring condemnation, but actually brings peace, because they realize the cross has said everything. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for release for that person, that they'll finally be able to let go of that sin, let go of that circle, let go of that shame, and step into the new life. Amen. Listen, we come via the cross. And the cross is always before me. I don't know about you. I have need of the cross every day. There's always something I need to put at the foot of the cross. But I can't live at the cross. I live in the garden. I live in the resurrection. I must live a life in the Spirit. Because Jesus rose again. I can rise again because Jesus rose again. Nothing will keep me down. Nothing needs to keep you down because nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We may be knocked, we may be battered, we may be bruised, but we will not be defeated. In the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, 8-11, he says, afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Let me tell you, the world might knock you down, but it can't keep you there. And today I want you to know, church, that because of Jesus, you can rise again. And can I encourage you, if you're going through those situations now, if you're going through hard times now, walk in the resurrection. Walk in the resurrection. They can kick you, but they can't kill you. And if they kill you, they still haven't killed you. Because we walk in the life everlasting. Let's pray, and we're going to bring Chris and Karen up, and we're going to sing. Oh, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, we came via the cross, but now we live in the garden. That because you died and because you ascended, we have the same power living in us. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for your church and your people. Lord, for those who are down, for those who are struggling, for those who are suffering. Lord, help us through your Spirit rise up again. And Lord, I pray, help us keep our eyes fixed on you, that whenever the world tries to shake us, we can stand as people who will not be shaken.